clap. One, two. Welcome to the Friendly Geordies podcast. You've been missing us. We've been missing you slightly. I've been missing you a lot.
We love you. Hey, by the way, I watched the Cusack episode. That was so good. I'm a fan.
He's a stand-up guy, isn't he?
Really good.
He is such a... I was saying it to his face as well, but he is like one of the most chilled out celebrities I've ever met in my life.
And we're good interviewers.
Are we?
I thought we were really good.
That's good to know.
Miss Lester get carried away.
I thought we were good. We didn't like clamor over, like we didn't all talk at the same time, gave each other space.
If only we could do the same thing to ourselves.
Doesn't seem to happen.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to happen. But we're going to be coming back with some more guests soon.
Very soon,
big
maybe.
Guests.
But you'll hear about that. You'll hear about that in due course. Let's start with the first pod. Boys, have you... Have you checked out the Bonza debacle?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know there's an airline called Bonza?
No. Sounds pretty good.
Okay, so here's the thing. So there was an airline right after COVID that decided that their niche is going to be people traveling to regional areas. Because the main airlines don't have enough traffic over there, and they're going to fill in that market.
Right.
So they come in.
Forgot that Rex existed. Very good.
Forgot that there's a reason why big airlines don't do regional ones.
Yeah.
Because the traffic is not worth it. So they went bankrupt today. So this is what happens. It's a normal working day for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
People show up to work. Passengers come to board their flights. And while they're at the airport, they find out that Bonza doesn't exist anymore.
What?
So everyone,
so it's a scam. It's like Ticket to Go-Go. It's like someone's making fake tickets.
Well, they were making real tickets at the time when they made the tickets, but when it came into using
completely
those tickets,
unaware that it was about to collapse in on
the
itself.
The whole thing was about to collapse. So they went to, what is that, voluntary...
administration.
Voluntary administration. And now the question is, some people are saying, and you know why this happened is because this is how you know ambition isn't always the best. The guy who said, the person who decided that they're going to fill in that market to doing regional areas did not realize that there could be a time when prices for things go up. So it was just at break even when he said that we're going to launch an airline. There's a gap there. And then the people that were renting the jets increased it by like 2%. He's like, oh, we're bankrupt now. That's kind of what
happened. That's fucked.
So now there's...
the Richard Branson that never was.
It's sad.
But it sucks for regional areas, people that live in regional areas, because it still remains true that no one catered to them.
I mean, you got Rex, Qantas... That is all.
What does Cathay Pacific do?
I don't know what that
it's
is.
It's an international airline. It's not Cathay. It's Cathay.
Cathay?
I don't know.
Cathay Pacific.
I don't know.
First of all, and it's Partay.
It's also, I'm pretty sure, a Hong Kong airline. Like, I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah.
No wonder they pronounce it Cathay.
I'll tell you what, South China Airlines sucks. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah. They won't fly out to
Dubai, will they? They gave me like two wines onto Taiwan. To Europe.
Isn't that enough?
No. No, it's not. It ain't even
what
close.
Do you mean they refused?
They give
the
you food
one?
Or?
They gave me food, barely. Like, they just weren't very... I just want Singapore. I just want Singapore Airlines.
Well, then maybe you should pay for a ticket.
No. I want to not pay for the ticket and get the same level of service. Is that so much to ask?
You're choosing one of the worst airlines in the world, and you're saying, all I want is the best airline in the world.
Is that so much?
Is Singapore
ask?
The best airline in the world?
Yeah, it's
it used to be almost, for a long time. Yeah. I think that
really
it's up
there. Arab Emirates.
Now it's Qatar and shit.
Yeah, no, I think it's like Qatar or Etihad. But like for the longest time, Singapore was like right at the top.
Yeah, I guess
I honestly think, you know what's incredible? As much as I hate Qantas,
do a good international flight.
Yeah, they're really good.
They just treat all of Australia like shit as the official Australian
policy.
Thank you so much for your service. I really enjoyed one of the 400 flights I've taken.
I do like this aspect about Qantas that you don't have to take a fucking ticket to go to the bathroom. It's just everything is more relaxed.
Ticket?
On
what are you talking about? A ticket?
Like, everything is just so overbooked. It's like by the time your turn comes to like go to the bathroom, your plane's already landing and they're putting the seatbelt sign on. It's
Really?
It's a mess.
Well, which one?
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what
I'm talking about, like Jetstar and shit.
Yeah, Jetstar sucks. Jetstar is sad.
If Qantas was bad, Jetstar, their budget Bonza version.
Yeah, Jetstar's really, really... it's like there's nowhere to put your phone. They povved out on like the little fucking carrier thing on the seat in front of you. It's like, where am I supposed to put my shit? And, yeah. then I actually put my headphones. There's like a little slot that's like emergency, obviously, the card that's like tells you what to do in an emergency. And I put my like AirPods case in there and the guy was like, I wouldn't do that, sir. And I was like, why? It's like, it's very deep. And I literally was just like, it's going to be a miracle if I can fish these out. That happened.
Yeah, I can. I believe. Well, okay. So the question is: should Qantas buy? Should Qantas buy Bonza and just like
yeah, they should
cut their losses.
They should buy Bonza. Why
there's
not?
A lot of people that you know might be working for them
with our tax money that they rorted during COVID.
Oh
ironically.
Shit!
That'd be incredible.
Wait, but that's a private company. Irony. Qantas is a private company, but they get subsidized too.
Yeah, but they're one of those too big to fail companies. And they take that with absolute merciless rigor. I'm telling you, the worst companies are always ones that are private, but also state run.
Yeah.
That is always Telstra, SBS, yes.
Is
SBS, Qantas.
Yeah.
They're all the shittest companies.
Jordan's camera is being really weird right now.
Oh, that's all right. Just focus the whole thing on this.
It's the barfly.
homage to the barfly.
He's got a new home.
Yep.
In respect for the dead, we're going to keep the camera on
the
dead.
Yeah, thank you.
At all times.
And I won't talk. I'll just go.
Well, this is going to be a great.
It's called art.
Yeah, so my official.
What's your official take on
Bonza? Bonza is. Didn't know it existed.
Yes, and mine is, oh, that's kind of romantic, I guess.
And also, I don't think anyone in rural Australia uses the word Bonza anymore.
Also, like the name
you
Bonza.
You should have done your market research more and called it Get a Dog App.
Yeah. Get a Dog App, yeah.
Yeah. If you name your airline Bonza, I already know it's a Ponzi scheme. Like, who names their company?
I mean, we did stay at a place.
You know what else probably really didn't help them? No one knew that they exist.
They should have called it Fair Dinkum Flights, like that hotel we stayed in.
Yeah. Or, come on, Crazy Clown Airlines.
Dude, Ali, we stayed...
Madman's Flights.
We stayed in this hotel in Port... No, fuck, where were we? Lismore. And this lady was talking about how like great all the renovations were and the refurbishments after the floods. I'm like, yeah, go you, good thing. And then I went to my hotel and I opened the cupboard door. It was covered in mold, like black mold.
You got a problem with that?
Yes, I do, frankly.
Was this one of the bad hotels that you're reviewing or is this just the place
you're
No, this was just
Why the,
a hotel.
That would have been too mean to review that. Like putting her under for a gag.
Yeah, I know. Already under the floods once and now metaphorically. Does she need it?
Yeah, and I think you...
The answer is clearly yes.
I think you can understand why there's mold in
Oh, shit,
Lismore.
Now I've just done it on this...
No!
I've just done it on this... Wait, you can understand.
Floods never left.
Floods, yes,
What
of
are
course.
You two so pro-mold about? You're like, you should have inhaled the spores. And you're like, what did you expect?
No, I don't know. I think it was because Blade Runner was on Channel 7 and I assumed that that was their doing.
Fair. But yeah, right.
What was also really sad about being in Lismore... Cannot get a meal there past 6:30.
You literally can't.
Macca's, that's the only
closed,
option.
Closed, buddy.
Closed.
What? The Macca's closes? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had to go to the 24/7 place and eat donuts.
And I had a vegetarian korma pasty, like pastry. That was bad. That was bad.
I like Miss Love. It's whole life is just like Miss Love Bella Patrick, a life of regret.
Oh, yeah.
It's always trying. If he goes to Adelaide and sees Moe's Hot Dogs advertised at the petrol station, best believe he's going to be trying
that. Was you, though, who you were pushing that agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were happy to oblige. It's just we didn't go to that right place. You would have done it, though. Come on. You are Homer with the sub that's like 6 weeks
old.
Yeah,
I am that. Yeah.
You'll do it.
I mean, I do that all the time. I'm just like, expired. Challenge accepted.
I'll be the judge of that.
All right, let's move another segment.
Yeah.
This one's going to be very light. The International Criminal Court is about to issue a warrant for Netanyahu and company.
What?
Yeah, so...
What?
First of all, International Criminal Court...
So Pakistan can arrest... Palestine can arrest him.
No, Palestine can't arrest him. So International Criminal Court is a global body that holds people accountable for things like war crimes, but you obviously have to be a signatory to the convention itself. Both Israel and the U.S. aren't signatories to the International Criminal Court, which should tell you a fair bit about what these countries believe in. But the trouble is that if International Criminal Court issues an arrest warrant for Netanyahu and company, if they ever travel to a country that is a signatory of the convention, they can technically be arrested and handed over. And there's about 133 countries that are signatories to this convention. And the one that I guess Netanyahu should be most concerned about is the one that's right next to him, Jordan. So if he goes to Jordan, he can be arrested.
Yeah, it's fucking they're arresting.
Figures. They're issuing these. This is all like rumors at the moment.
It's your country, right? You own that country, right?
Yeah, well, of course I'm going to sign on to it.
Yeah.
This is
going to rock the boat.
This is all conjecture at the moment because they haven't actually issued these warrants, but Netanyahu is freaking out and he's gone on television a few times saying, you can't do this. This is not right.
What countries are the sign-ons again?
There's 133.
Yo.
I think we are also one of them. I think. I'm not too sure. But I think we are also one of them. Like most countries are, because...
Yeah, but if you ever went to any country, they're not going to arrest a dignitary.
Well, so... There was a lot... Immediately, Netanyahu said that this is going to set a bad precedent of liberal democracy fighting barbarians. And if you arrest people for fighting barbarians, then nobody is safe. Mm. He's saying... So the U.S. said that... Mm.
First they went for Netanyahu, and I said nothing.
Then they went for Trump, and I still said nothing.
Well, let's be honest, we all said a lot about it. It's a lot less profound in the 21st century, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
And the U.S. has come out saying immediately, because Netanyahu most likely called Joe Biden and said, "You can't do this to me. You can't do this to me, man." And so he said that ICC has no jurisdiction over Israel, blah, blah, blah. Just like saying things like to discourage them. ICC is doing it primarily for two charges. One is that
racketeering.
Israel is not allowing humanitarian aid to flow into Gaza, which amounts to a war crime through starvation. And the second is that the response to October 7th attacks was disproportionate to the need and the attack itself, and verged on revenge tactics. So these
now, I think that there is an argument to say, where's the line for that? Now, I'm not saying that Israel didn't cross it in that particular context, but in a war, I'm pretty sure you're always going to cross the line in quote proportionate attacks.
But, like, you can war. Can lead to that, but it is my view that Israel's policy... Look, so there's two ways of...
Netanyahu must have really done a number in Palestine, because I don't think they've issued this warrant for anyone? Putin.
No, they have. He was the last person to receive this warrant after the Ukraine war.
Right.
Which is why, apparently, Putin...
And then why didn't they do it to the Ukrainian president?
...on not That's going to South Africa.
Huh?
There was some conference, I think it was for BRICS, that Putin was supposed to attend in South Africa. South Africa is a signatory to this convention. So even though the South African government told Putin that we're not going to arrest you, he still didn't decide to go to South Africa.
Because he was sitting there being like, it's a trip.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe, for whatever reason. So Putin this is why there's also like double standard. Every time like Israel or US say something to defend Israel, there's always that double standard versus Ukraine. And this is another example because Putin was issued and America was like very, very happy about that and had no issues about jurisdictions whatsoever. But when it comes to
I mean, don't you feel like being Netanyahu or Putin? How old are these guys now? Like in the 80s?
Nah.
Yeah. 70s?
Bro, Netanyahu is gone because there's the amount of protests in Israel right now against Netanyahu is also insane. Because
yeah, but isn't that just his entire existence?
Yeah, but I think it's gone to that point where, like, literally, as long as the war is happening, he can stay in power. As soon as this war ends, Netanyahu is going to be gone.
Yeah.
Because, like, from Israel's perspective, Israel will not looked at will not be looked at the same way post this war. They've lost a lot of social capital. I was looking at the US numbers. 48% of Democrats think that Israel is committing a genocide. 28% think Israel is not committing a genocide, and the rest don't know.
And out what about Republicans? 0%.
No, out of Republicans, about 30% are saying that he is committing a genocide.
Damn.
47% saying he's not committing a genocide. The rest are, I don't know. And for independents, again, it's like, so if you combine the numbers of people that think he is supporting that Israel is committing a genocide, including with people that are on the fence, it's an overwhelming majority. If you just take the people that are saying that Israel is committing a genocide, that's about 1/3 of the U.S. population. And if you're Joe Biden, then it's a majority of your base.
My
and
God.
This story is similar everywhere in the Western world now. The sympathies
I'd imagine it would be higher everywhere else in the world.
And dude, I was reading a Jerusalem Post article today. It's so funny or whatever. They're freaking out about this, right? Obviously, Jerusalem Post is a right-wing Israeli pro-Netanyahu media organization. And they're obviously like
Their Telegraph?
Yeah, like their Telegraph. They're really freaking out about
this. Is it a thinking person's Telegraph?
It's just the Telegraph. Mm-hmm. And their Guardian is like Haaretz. I read both of them. But anyway, so Jerusalem...
What was the other one called?
Haaretz.
What the hell is that?
Haram.
Haaretz. I don't know what it means, but it's like
their... damn Yiddish.
It's like their Guardian or something. It's a decent one. You kind of know where the both sides of the political spectrum are on if you just read both of them. Anyways, the Jerusalem Post had an amazing article, which was about exactly this, that this the war has completely changed the perception. And they've diagnosed this issue as people like underdogs. And Israel was always looked favorably upon because as soon as its formation happened, all of these the Arab countries combined to go against them. So the world looked at Israel as like this underdog in this situation. And as time has gone on, and particularly they claim the Israeli attack on Lebanon in mid-2000s or 2004, I think it was, has dramatically changed the way now the Palestinians are looked at as underdogs and we are the oppressors. And so they're saying that there's a whole other bunch of hilarious shit which I wouldn't even go into. But they talk about like how this is a disease of the mind that has made feminists think that rape is a legitimate form of resistance, referring to Hannah Arendt, I think, which that feminist... anyways, there's like a whole bunch of this stuff. But their recommendation is that this is how you fix this. You start heavily funding social sciences and arts at universities to the point where like you essentially buy out most of the faculties. That leaves no room for the social justice types to consume any oxygen. Right now they're saying that
You can't say it's the Telegraph. Come on.
What?
This is a thinking man's paper. This is the Herald Sun.
But this they're like, is they're openly
the
saying,
Adelaide Gazette.
They're saying that we need an army of internet people that can quickly identify anyone that is against Israel, label them. The writing is in newspapers. Label them as anti-Semitic because they are.
Oh
anti-Semitic.
Wow, that's definitely going to work. And, that's exactly what they do.
And not only make them jobless, but allocate enough resources to pursue them legally and keep them in the courtrooms for the rest of their lives in order to like discourage more and more people from doing it.
Again, isn't it amazing? Online trolling. One move every time. After careful analysis, we've determined that we should call them anti-Semitic. So they're one.
How much did this initiative
think? Thought they were supposed to be this genius, like, techno society.
Then they're also saying that if you look at, like, the ones that are pro-Israel.
It's techno music.
All of these people that are pro-Israel, they're already on our side. We don't need to worry about them. All the people that are against Israel at the moment, they're going to be really hard to convince. There's about 30 to 40% of people that are in the don't know category. And those people we need to identify. We need to get them involved in Israel. We need to bring them to Israel.
35% of America's population.
Not all of them, but, like, you know, you target for, you bring them to Israel, you give them free trips and stuff, you show them the soft image of Israel, and their last point was...
But this is all what they do.
Yeah, but they're only doing it with Jews now. They're saying that it doesn't matter...
They don't just do it with Jews, they do it with dignitaries, they do it with reporters.
They do it with dignitaries and other Jews. So their incentive is, because they want every...
Scott Morrison, I don't think he's a Jew.
Yeah, but he is a dignitary. So
Morrison a witch.
But they're talking about, like Mislav, for instance. If Mislav is just a random Westerner guy who's kind of, I don't know, somewhere on, in between in Israel and Palestine, they need to identify him, give them heavy incentives, allow him, make his life better, and force him into the pro-Israel camp.
Look at him. He's thinking right now, he's like, oh, right, free trip. And this time, not on AirAsia.
Hey, give me some of those, like, matzo ball soup.
Which includes, like, creating...
Hey, they,
like,
only gave me two drinks on the flight over. Sorry, this is all because of our pre-show that you can upload.
Oh, yeah.
Upload. You know, you can just buy it.
Can you?
So do that.
You can do that?
Yeah.
No, this isn't pre-show. This is the main
show. No. Can you buy the pre-show?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can. You can.
So sign up to upload.
Lost in translation purely because I didn't express what I was saying at all. But
wait, last point. Last
Who'd
point.
Have thought?
Last point. They also say that one of the critical mistakes that they've done is to showcase IDF as, like, the national force in all marketing campaigns for Israel, and they're saying you
Why
need
did
to.
Why did they do that?
I don't know, because they're Idiots. Strong people. So they're saying, like, dumb. You need to hide all IDF from marketing. You need to make civilians wear suits and shit and diplomats
and make the face of Israel Mossad.
Yeah, essentially.
What do you mean essentially?
Who's that again?
Mossad is their intelligence service.
Oh, yeah.
So they're saying just keep uniform personnel out of it.
Oh, Jesus.
Because
who are they
going to
make it then? Who are they going to make the face of Israel?
They're saying make just diplomats. Jerry Get Seinfeld. Diplomats to, like, say shit. Get diplomats to go on different platforms. Don't Jesus get IDF Christ. People doing it.
Jerry's.
I mean, that is the one idea that I've heard so far that I thought, yeah, that's kind of different. The other one is never going to happen, where they invite Mislav over to Israel.
As long as it's Singapore Airlines, I will attend.
Hey, their own airline? Sure, they do. Thanks,
into
miss.
The microphone.
No, keep it going.
Like, you're
you
on.
Know, you know, when we were in Perth, we were thinking about the radio show in Gold Coast on Hot Tomato FM.
Yes!
And there's just this huge Tongan man next to this equally huge woman. I can't remember what they're called. Like it's like Kathy and Big Trim in the Arvos. And every time you go to the Gold Coast, you see their face on every second bus stop, and you look at both of them and you think, do either of you have your citizenship? We're both backpackers. How does that happen? You know, no, it's pretty crazy. Eh? And so they're like huge celebrities of the Gold Coast, but they're called Big Trev. And
so
we were saying
good.
That wouldn't it be the greatest show of all time, because we were talking to our producer about how we used to have a show on in Lithgow.
Move FM.
And one of the most iconic moments of our short stinted career was I put the on-air button on. I tell him to be silent because we're going out of a song. I tell him to be quiet. I press on air. As soon as on air goes, he immediately forgets there's a microphone in front of him and goes, straight to the microphone.
That's genius radio.
It was talk of the town. Everybody came in and was just like, I heard that. What the fuck was going on? And we're just sitting there laughing for like 5 minutes and we went off. And we're like, it's the most genius radio segment that's ever been made. And wouldn't it be incredible if they combined the juggernaut that is Big Trev and then just made it Big Burper and Big Trev in the morning? That's how you get your breakfast slot, Trev.
And then
you've been sitting in the shadows and drive, wasting away with your talents of, I assume, sitting there being like, hey, do you follow rugby union at all? No, because this is Queensland. Well, it's a fucking good sport too, bro. Like, that's about it. I think, wouldn't it be great to see huge billboards across Queensland where it has Big Trev eating a big sub. And in between the big sub is Miss Love, naked, lying on his side like this. And then they make it one of those automated... I know this is a very expensive campaign and probably not in Hot Tomato scope, but maybe you could be bought out by Hit FM and we could get the real classics out there, yeah? And so he's in the middle of this sub, naked, to his side, and they make his mouth move up and down with an audio little footing in the background. They can do this in billboards and have him just go... Big Burper and Big Trev in the morning. Oh, what? You're leaving your protest, are you, Ali? Yeah, okay. It's you just that can't bad. Handle genius.
It's that bad an idea, is it, Ali?
You can sit there and relay all of bloody Israel Today's ideas.
But you're not interested in this country, are you? Our issues.
Yeah, all right. Silent. Absolutely silent.
I want to see...
Standard protest.
I'm just jealous that you didn't think of it, Ali.
He is, and thankfully, I'm embarrassed
big
for him.
Yeah, it's big still, burper in the it's morning. Still doing it for some reason.
I mean, don't worry about it.
It looks okay.
All right, I'm not worrying about it.
Distracting from the issues.
I'm sorry.
I would watch it. No, no ego involved in that statement. I would watch it.
It's just, is there anything else that you want to hear from commercial radio at this point?
I think it'd be so funny.
Him coming in, hey, it's Big Trev and Big Burper in the morning. You got anything to say, Big Burper?
Every time I burp, it just goes up another percentage in ratings.
Yeah.
So
we
good.
We get 100% by about 7:30 a.m.
I am a genius.
Boys, let's do...
No.
Oh, sorry, go
it's
continue.
Too, it's too good a segment. We're going to do my one now. It's too good a segue.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, we have to. It's like a
perfect... And then after that, Jordan, do you want to do a Reddit segment? Am I the asshole?
After that.
Okay.
It's just going to be...
These are the Reddit segments. So much text.
It's a perfect segue, the one we were just doing. So, guess what I found?
No. He's done what? It. My Israel question.
Can you put the camera?
Yeah, I'm putting camera on you.
Can it be?
Yeah.
There it is, sitting in my bookcase since I assume 2005.
No. Because if you remember from the blurb, Obama has just been elected.
What's this? What is this?
You didn't look?
No.
It's a library card. You were supposed to return it to Newtown High.
It's a receipt for something. What did you buy? Is this with my money?
No, dude.
This when you were on the dole?
Holy shit. Holly Vitalis. This was from Lithgow. What did I buy? I bought something for $120 a while ago.
And that is Miss Love's Israel question.
concludes. I thought it'd be the receipt.
What, is this going to be the third Bible? Are we going to read out of this every week?
You bought women's clothing.
Give me that. my Israel question. So John Pilger says, who's John Pilger? You'd know. Who is it?
Again, this is how old this book is. He's dead.
Okay, well, John
Pilger. When this book was written, he was as famous as Chomsky.
Okay, so John Pilger said, I can think of few books about Israel and Palestine written by an Australian as important as Anthony Lowenstein's Brave Jacuzzi. It won shortlisted for New South Wales Premier's Literary Awards 2007. So this has been on my bookshelf since year 12.
Why is
2007?
This,
who was in then? Yemma?
Why is this like a segment? Like,
well, I just thought it was funny.
Books on, dude, if you come to my house, there's like a section that's just Israel books.
Oh, but is yours from 2007?
Some of them are from 1877.
Yeah, but this has been on my shelf since I got it, and I haven't read it. That's funny.
Okay.
I haven't read it once. I haven't read any of it since 2007. It's sat on my... How many years is that?
It's been a while.
Dude, it's never been opened. I found it. It's never moved.
This is incredible.
What's the go?
It's the same point that we're talking about now.
Read some of it.
Criticizing Israel is not anti-Semitic, and saying so is vile. But singling out Israel for... opprobrium. What the hell does that mean?
Opprobrium.
Isn't it amazing that we both look to the guy who's English, second language?
Dude, we're Australian. Jesus Christ. We're not educated.
An international sanction out of all proportion to any other party in the Middle East is anti-Semitic, and saying so is dishonest. Well, see, and now unbiased, this whole point doesn't make any sense because I don't know what opprobrium means.
An unbiased,
it means
look,
harsh criticism or censure.
Okay, Ali, is it out of date or should I read it? Like, is it worth reading?
No, dude, it's the same story. It's never out of date.
Oh, on top okay. of that, you still haven't finished House of Leaves.
Yeah, I can do a review on that if you want. I'm halfway through. It's fucking hell. It's a harder read than that. I'll fucking tell you that much.
Well, this is a little sneak peek into the quality content that you get if you sign up to the Up Late.
Mm-hmm.
You will sometimes hear Miss Love talk about a fictional book that he doesn't like.
I don't hate it. It's just, well, wait till the Up Late. Like, there's let's just hold on.
Is there stuff to go through?
Well, I mean, there's obviously narrative that I can explain, yeah.
You don't want to do
keep
it
now. It for the up
I
play.
Can do it now.
No, keep it for the up play.
Look, I'm very proud of you, Miss Love, because
for finding be a book only, on your shelf.
This is the only copy of this book, I'm assuming, ever that was printed that has clearly never been opened. even when he found it on his bookshelf, he still didn't crack it open. Not once.
I did it, he's right.
Sells it, he can legitimately say mint condition, never been opened.
If I can't now.
Man, this and your autobiography of Tom Cruise. What a bookshelf.
But like,
you just have the funniest bookshelf on earth, don't you? This, that Harry Potter yeah. book that you put Property of Miss Love on the yep. front and then didn't answer.
Yeah.
And like, the Property of Miss Love one was the funniest because he kept saying like,
I can sell it.
I'm going to sell that book. That book is worth millions. And it's just like, and it's written in a child's handwriting.
I could just rip that page out. Still do all right.
I don't know.
You're going to sell online for millions of dollars.
Not millions, but I'd still do all right.
Hundreds of thousands.
It's limited.
And you know what I also checked? Edition. It wasn't even the first edition.
It was.
One of
how can it be first and limited?
Yeah, that's how it works. It is. First is limited.
Oh, miss.
So like, should I was going to bring it here and be like, hey, what a gag. I'll leave it here. But like, should I actually read it?
No. We
He just absolutely. Said I could. He just
I
said.
I'll read the back of this.
Okay.
You let's all at home decide whether the Israel question in 2024, after the main guy saying it has been dead for like I think a year or two now, which rest his soul, he was a great guy,
right?
But the undeclared war in the Middle East is the abiding conflict of our era, with little apparent hope of resolution despite years of peace talks. Well, that still holds true. The futile 2006 Lebanon war merely heightened this sense of hopelessness. Didn't make any ground at all. On one side of the conflict, Israel asserts the right of the Jewish state to exist in Palestine. On the other, Palestinian people struggle for survival. Far beyond Israel's disputed borders, the conflict is replayed around the world in passionate public discussion. Written by an Australian Jew. I don't know why that's in italic. They just wrote written by an Australian Jew.
I don't know. It was more controversial.
What an anti-Semitic.
No, it's just, that's why he wrote in italics, so you don't call him anti-Semitic. He's not saying like Jew. He's just saying, that's what I think the name is. I'm going to put it in inverted commas because that's what I've read.
Right.
My Israel Question was published in 2006 amidst a storm of controversy, critical praise, and robust debate. The Israel-Palestine conflict has rarely been discussed as frankly an indication that decades-old silencing of dissenting views was coming to an end. Lowenstein's searching discussion continues here in this fully updated and expanded new edition. He's a significant voice in one of the most important debates of our time. You know what? From the blurb.
Pretty good.
I'm telling you, it's going to be it's going to be all relevant because things haven't changed.
Especially when half the book is
pictures?
Just notes at the end.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's
right, now,
I think there's like 10 pages in here.
Okay, get to cool. more pressing things. Am I the asshole on Reddit?
No, chuck me the book.
Is it locked?
I want to see.
It is locked. Let's see if my fingerprint matches. Damn it!
Damn, maybe this is the best book ever written.
All right, let's have a look. Am I the asshole for refusing to give up my extra seat for someone else's toddler on a flight that I paid for because I'm fat?
Oh, yes, you are an asshole.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
But how can he give it up? He's fat.
He has a lot of notes.
Well, read the thing. Read the thing.
I'm a 34-year-old female and I'm obese. I'm actively working towards losing weight. No one cares. No one cares. Just
I
say
care.
Fat.
I care.
I'm going over to see my brother and his husband for Christmas across the country because I'm fat. Okay. I don't know why only fat people care about their brother. I booked an extra seat.
Because I'm fat. Yeah, of course. Well, I was worried there for a second. Who would visit their sibling?
Why would you visit your
sibling? It's just bizarre.
Only you would be only wanting to visit him to have sex with him.
Because that's also what fat people do, incest. I mean, these are just really, look, honestly, we knew this.
And clearly the only reason why you're trying to lose weight is so that he can easily find your vagina.
Oh, no.
I know it sucks having to pay for an extra seat, but it is what it is. I know Southwest Airlines. Fuck, dude. I don't think anyone in Australian history, I think we're like the second fattest country on earth. I've never seen that on a flight.
Neither.
But I bet you when you're in America, it's just like, we're at full capacity, which is, of course, 50% capacity.
Jesus.
We have 50% of the people in plane, but the weight limit is 200% at the moment.
Shit. Welcome to Banja Airlines. Yeah,
if anybody would like to wait for the next flight, they'll get a free candy cane for courtesy of America Airlines. And then half of them like,
Bonza, anyways, enjoy your stay in Connecticut, home of the maple syrup.
And I've been told that Krispy Kreme is out of donuts. Everything goes smoothly from checking into security and boarding, at least at first. This woman comes on my row with a boy who appeared to be about a year old. She told
Mike.
She told me to squeeze into one seat so her son could sit in the other. She told me, not asked. Yeah, from your rendition, this is the whole thing about Emma the Arsehole. It's always a bunch of people that clearly know they're the arsehole and they're just looking for reassurance from the most sympathetic people on earth, Redditors.
Well, I don't know, man. She paid for both seats. She clearly deserves it. Go on.
She deserves
it. I mean, yeah, maybe she's...
Dude, she's paid twice the fare. Give her a seat.
Oh my God, isn't this such a developed world issue? She makes a big fuss over it, which got the flight attendant's attention. She told the flight attendant I was stealing the seat from her son. I showed my boarding pass, proving that I, in fact, paid for the extra seat. The flight attendant asked me if I could try to squeeze in, and I said no.
Oh.
I paid for this shit.
Yeah.
The boy, who the mum said is 18 months old, is supposed to sit in her lap and he could just do that. The flight attendant eventually told the mum to put her son on her lap. I got dirty looks and passive-aggressive remarks from her the entire flight. And I do feel a little bad because the boy looked hard to control Sam by the arsehole. Look, I'll say this. You're not an arsehole, but you are a fat cunt. That is undeniable.
Yeah, I agree with that. I take it back. I misheard what you were saying. I thought it was I'm really fat and I only paid for one sheet and there's a toddler next to me and I said, fuck off. That's what I heard.
But what you think is I just think it's pathetic that you have to get two seats and when someone says, I've got a small child here, you're like, I'm not even going to try to squeeze
in. Yeah, because she paid two seats because she can't sit next to two adults.
She was being considerate.
She was being considerate?
Because she bought two seats. Squeezing into one would not have been good for the people either side. And also, a toddler you can just put on your knee.
Wow, you're very empathetic to the obese class of the world, aren't you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, but how much space is a...
Love the fatties.
Yeah, you know.
How much space is an 18-month-old going to occupy? I'm sure she can spill over a little bit on that seat.
Just on the knee.
Well, the 18-year-old could have shat on her lap. Or the fat that was pooling over and would have had a nice
true. It'd be, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you reckon?
She's not the arsehole.
No, who's the arsehole then? The kid for existing.
The kid.
Nah, the mum.
The kid.
The mum.
The flight attendant.
The mum's an arsehole.
Yeah.
Why is the flight attendant? You can't say the flight attendant.
Why? The flight attendant asking. Come on.
For saying can you adjust? What is your job to solve this shit?
I suppose.
Well, she's trying to solve it. Tell me what I already know. Can you just adjust me?
She also is in this unbelievable paradox of the customer is always right.
Yeah.
There's two customers.
That's true.
Yeah, but she paid for two tickets, so she has two person's voices.
Mm.
So she counts for two.
Whereas the one passenger, she didn't even pay for a kid. So she counts half. She's taking two people on one ticket, whereas the fat lady is taking one person.
Exactly. So it's the
mom.
It's the mom.
So the fat lady needs to be listened to by the flight attendant.
I agree.
Wow. I did not realize how passionate both of you were. about the rights of fatties. I mean, I didn't realize it. You guys are really serious about it.
I'm passionate about the, you know, the consumer. Like, if you pay for something, then you've got that right. You know, if you pay for two seats, they're your seats.
Have you guys heard of, like, some airlines are considering...
I'm serious.
Have you heard of this? Some airlines are considering charging people based on their weight.
Oh, my
God. So your airfare would be based on...
Dude, how quickly are we tumbling towards Soylent Green? Like, what the fuck is that?
What do you mean?
It's just so dystopic. It's like, 30 kilos, you can go into the Mars colony. 40 kilos... Take him to the Soylent Green factory. You can't take... The common man will rise up against this authoritarian state one day. It's like, shut up, fatty. It's just fucked. It's so fucked.
You don't think it's fair?
I think it's insane.
Look, like, that means the people that don't weigh a lot will pay less for flights.
I know, but... What if some people are fat because they can't help it?
I know, but they can't help paying extra.
It's discriminatory.
Can anyone seriously not help being so fat?
I don't look as
yeah,
a,
some
that,
people.
I don't think that's possible.
I'm gonna be 100% honest about this. I don't buy this.
Suffering from starvation that needs two seats.
Have you seen little babies that are starving that get big bellies?
Yeah, that's not two seats level. That's still considered one easily, man.
No, dude, they don't even get seats on like trains.
Huh?
Did you see this? There's this a YouTuber. He goes. He's kind of like bald and bankrupt, but his name's something else. He's South African. He's in Bangladesh.
Hairy and moderately well off.
It's the funniest and the most fucked thing you'll ever see. He's in Bangladesh. He's on a local train, but he's like literally outside of the train at the front. Right, so the train is like going at 130 k's behind him, and he's right at the front, and you can just see the track. And then there's like a little baby that's next to him traveling by himself.
What? Really?
And he's like 3 years old.
Shit.
And he's like right at the front. Oh my God, this is the most effed up thing you'll ever see in your entire life.
That's how they travel. Did they do that in Pakistan?
I hope not. I don't know. Probably.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Wait, what's your point? Oh, that's just fucked up. My point is, what's that got to do with fat men? No, he's just the train. Yeah, look.
I'm just saying, like, people have it tough.
Yeah, they have it tough. But, like, you can't weigh people. It's just too much. It's like, these flights are getting so ridiculous. Have you seen photos of the in-flight shots of people flying in the 60s?
Mm.
They had full... First of all, the fucking seats are the size of these two cushions. They're huge. Mm. And they're getting like, it's like, would you like carved lamb or carved ham, ma'am? She's like, I believe I'll have both. It's like, of course, more hot gravy. They had like,
yeah, but they were also not buying like heavily discounted Webjet tickets. Like that was a time when all airplane was business class. Like you had to be from business class to travel.
Bullshit.
By
you're saying,
no, it's true, miss. It was really expensive to fly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that shut me up. Damn it.
It's so good. Why can't I get that for $69 to Japan?
And Singapore Airlines, too. I want Singapore Airlines carved roasts.
Not Singapore Airlines. You fly all these business... Like, most of the companies that you've flown on, I can guarantee you are out of business now.
What are you talking about?
You always fly the cheapest, worst...
Yeah, China Airlines.
Some guy that needs to... rotor it up at the beginning, and you know, probably get that fat woman to like just put it in her belly and then just shoot it in a general direction. You fly on that, and then you sit there and you're like, I want roast ham. Like, you're not even flying, you're just getting catapulted to fucking Europe.
That's so good.
So, yeah, I don't know. You just
fair.
You're a what's wrong with this
case. It goes through life. You're right. It's true.
Okay, we've got...
Hey, do you want cheap tickets or do you want roast ham? That's what I'm saying.
Standard of living... What are the tropes? Standard of living... Wages not rising. Shuck on them apples.
This is going to trigger you further. Apparently what's that European airline? I think it's called Ryanair.
They suck.
Their CEO said... This is my new plan. We're going to get rid of the back bathrooms and we're going to keep standing people. Like,
so Oh my God, dude.
It'll be like a bus.
I'm going to start having a panic attack.
And he said that.
And you're going to use that flight for Bell. It'll be $15 off. Wow. I'm sure we'll definitely notice that $15 in my bank account. It is designed specifically for people like you sitting there just being
you can't even bloody go on a plane anymore and be offered jewellery. Well, no, you can't. What the fuck? Why am I standing up? This is bullshit. Can't believe it. You can't believe that I'm flying in the sky.
You're not that great.
Very efficient.
Fuck you. You're not some, like, you're not the Prince of Persia either.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, fuck you. You suck too.
How?
Just generally. You suck for many reasons. I can't be bothered to list them.
But am I for flying or just in general I suck?
I don't know. Bit of both. Bit of both.
I don't think I've ever complained about anything on a plane except goddamn kids.
Yeah, the babies.
So much air.
Yeah, you
so
do
now
complain
I'm on side
about
with
kids
the fat woman for just making that kid's life easier.
No, he's right. What he said's true. I would be that person. I'm like, I went ham.
Mm. All right, I've got two options.
It would be me. It would be me.
You'll get hand.
You guys have to vote.
Bullshit.
You guys have to vote on the next segment. Either the segment can be about Jerry Seinfeld saying PC police is going too crazy,
yeah.
Or
he's right, you know.
Or you can we can talk about the first ever supercomputer simulating the end of Earth.
Whoa.
I want that.
We got to do that.
Yeah. Jerry's, well, that's a big ticket. But
and then
I
we go into it. And the computer simulation says that political correctness went too far. As prophesied by A1 Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
Many are regarding Jerry as the new Messiah and calling him the Moy Adib on the streets of Brooklyn.
I think we're going to have to still do Jerry after
and
this,
the end
too.
Of the day,
but
it was all because Netanyahu was arrested. It's an extreme downward of political correctness.
Okay. A study saw.
This guy's all right. You know, I scratch what I said about him being a dick. He's all right. This guy's all right. This guy's all right.
Because he buys, you know, middle class airplane seats. That's why I'm a cunt.
What do you mean, middle class? No.
This is why I'm a cunt. Because I don't expect that you should be able to smoke on a plane and have a chair literally as large as the sky.
Yes, that's why you're a cunt. Yes.
For under $100.
Yes, yes, that's why you're a cunt. Yes. They've pulled the wool over your eyes, these companies. They're making profits through the roof while I was sitting there like sardines and you're happy to take it. You're part of the problem.
I am part of the problem.
You are.
Oh, absolutely.
Where
right.
do you think the money's
actually,
going?
You know what? Now that I think about it, I complain about Qantas all the time.
You think the CEOs could knock a bit off for some leg room?
What?
Knock a bit off of their fucking yearly huge wages.
For Miss Love.
For everyone.
It's called the Miss Love cut.
No, it's called the
every CEO has to take.
He's got
a
such
cut.
Tall man problems. Sitting there like with his 8 feet tall legs. Bundling in there.
You
need an extra seat. That's why. So you can just lie on this side.
Listen, you fool.
Miss, you just need to pay like extra $7 and get like the emergency exits.
Listen, you
yeah,
fools.
Or volunteer to help in the case of an unlikely emergency.
Do you like Jetstar? They're owned by Qantas, right?
Hate them.
Yeah. Do you think Qantas's fucking CEOs are not making a lot of money? Is that your fucking... Is that your thing to die on in life? To be like, oh, no, they deserve more.
I think that they have a very stressful job and are adequately compensated for their...
yeah, well...
for their rorting of the Australian taxpayer.
Yeah, you've got your... what do they call those people in unions that, like, scab? You got your scab right here.
Scab?
Yeah.
Why? Because I
let's
don't
move
demand
on.
Extra leg room.
No, because you don't mind the CEOs making that cash while all of us suffer.
Oh, I do mind that. I mind the extra profits. I think this is the whole thing. I think that deep down, I have severe low self-esteem and think I don't deserve any more.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's what I think
this
it is.
This weird thing where you want to be like whipped and shit. Like,
not
man.
Whipped. Just treated like cattle. I think it just kind of humbles people in the modern age. I think I'm just sick of people demanding constantly. This is everyone's mindset. I can glean from this day and age.
It's
like, no, it's not humiliation. It's I hate that most people seem to have this understanding of the world now that,
oh, I've seen billionaire lifestyles on Instagram. Why don't I have that billionaire lifestyle?
That's not.
It's the fat cat's fault.
Yes, yes. Leg room is billionaire lifestyle, yes.
Okay, you went from like a having your own inbuilt fireplace
on
a plane.
I never said that.
Okay, well, it was very close.
Oh,
you wanted
cuttings
of two roasts
offered to you like it's a wedding.
I don't want the roast. I don't want the roast. Do you know what I'm happy with?
Canapes.
Fucking
canapes.
No, how about this? Just how about just a shit meal? That's good.
What shit meal?
A shit meal. I'm happy. I'd be happy with a shit meal.
You get shit meals.
No, you don't.
When you flew to Europe, they didn't offer you anything.
I'm talking about domestic.
And why do you want to do one? It's pretty close to the road.
I'm talking about domestic.
Why do you want a meal from Sydney to Melbourne?
Because I get hungry.
45 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's not it. Perth, 6 hours, fuckhead.
If you didn't arrive at the airport, like when you should have arrived like half an hour before, we could have gone to Virgin Lounge and you could have gotten any meal you like.
I beat you these days.
Once.
No,
you beat
not
me
true.
Once.
Not true.
Not true.
Twice.
Yeah, probably twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
but come on, miss. Like, really?
No, the Virgin Lounge is a mate. Well, look, let me to be honest here. The food at the Virgin Lounge ain't carved fucking lamb. It ain't carved lamb. That's all I'm saying. They could make those cupcakes a bit bigger. The coffees are good.
It's the CEO's fault. He's getting
it is. It
much.
Is the CEO's fault. He's cutting it on the fucking chefs.
The potatoes aren't worn because of the CEO.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, look.
Yeah,
let's find out how the world ends.
Two bootlickers over here.
Man, Miss Love fighting the common man's plight.
You know what? You guys keep arguing because I'm going to warm up. I'll warm up.
I think we were done with you. I'll read the fucking end of the world shit. Give it here.
Okay, you read it while I prep the next one. So for those of you that weren't part of the pre-show, a few pods ago, the boys were making fun of me because I said Nihari, which is a famous Pakistani
dish,
was ranked the number one national dish in the world. And I showed them a video of some guy who did a video and he ranked Pakistan as the number one national dish. They made fun of me, so I made it and they're going to try it live and tell me if it is in fact the number one national dish in the world or not. So you guys, if you want to read the supercomputer
yeah,
thing,
can I read it?
Go that while I prep the food.
Alright, fuckers. Alright, here we go. The team from the University of Bristol found that the world would look vastly different to how it is now. Due to tectonic plates, continents would move all over the place and create a new supercontinent called Pangaea Ultima. Fuck. Dr. Alexander Farnsworth said, sounds fake, the newly emerged supercontinent.
Dr. Alexander Farnsworth does sound like a fake name, doesn't it?
It really does.
Mr. Smarty Pants.
I have a PhD in smartology.
Intelligentsia.
Yeah,
smartology.
The newly emerged...
What does that entail? Oh, many numbers, I can assure you.
The newly emerged supercontinent with... What the fuck? Is this? I thought you said it was a supercomputer that predicted it. Yeah.
Supercontinent is predicted by a supercomputer.
Alexander Farnsworth doesn't sound like a computer, but all right.
Jordan, read the article.
The newly...
Come on.
No, fuck off. The newly emerged supercontinent would effectively create a triple whammy, comprising the continentality effect... Hotter sun and more CO2 in the atmosphere of increasing heat for much of the planet. The result is a mostly hostile environment devoid of food and water sources and sources for mammals. Widespread temperatures between 40 to 50 degrees Celsius and even greater daily extremes compounded by high levels of humidity that would ultimately seal our fate. Humans along...
So I think we're going to survive until then. I'm pretty happy about that because how long away is this? I assume it's at least 50 years.
Let's see. Humans, along with many other species, would expire. Sorry. Due to their inability to shed this heat through sweat, cooling their bodies. Only 8 to 16% of the land would be habitable for mammals. And when the supercontinent forms, and humans would seriously struggle to adapt to the new climate extremes. Volcanoes would erupt more regularly and we'd also be battling a brighter sun that would be dishing out some serious rays our way. But you need not fear, as this doomsday scenario isn't forecast to happen for another 250 million years.
We are not going to live that long. What a stupid computer. People, go back to Jerry Seinfeld.
The people behind the research. About the real issues. The people behind the research believe this should still act as a warning sign for humans to address climate change. Study,
we're not going to live that long.
Study co-author Dr. Eunice Lowe said it is vitally important not to lose sight of our current climate crisis, which is a result of human emissions of greenhouse gases. While we are predicting an uninhabitable planet in 250 million years, today we are already experiencing extreme heat that is detrimental to human health. This is why it is crucial to reach net zero emissions as soon as possible.
Why do they care?
What do you mean, why do they care?
Well, we're all just going to die anyway. Mr. Smarty Pants, yeah, if but that is your real name.
Yeah, but 250 million years.
Fuck, what a useless waste of it. Thanks for wasting our time, world smartest man.
250 million years is a pretty good run, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's
250,000 years is a good run, yeah, comparatively to most.
So basically,
You know what? Actually, snakes have done it. They've been around for 210 million.
That's amazing. I think.
Actually, they've got another 40 million years to go.
Don't start panicking yet. Can you imagine if it's like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer's just like stops in traffic? He's like, I'm halfway through my life. It's like, that's me from this on now. I'm like, I've only got 250 million years. Fuck. Ali, it's fine.
Could you imagine?
We're good. 250 million
Could
years.
Could you imagine being alive for 250 million? Wouldn't you get sick of it?
Dude, I reckon.
Probably after 100,000.
I reckon peak life would be like 150 years and they'd be pushing it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What about if you were at your level
peak?
Now? Even then I'd probably push it.
I'd probably a couple of hundred.
I'd welcome death.
A couple of hundred. I mean, to be honest, like, I went rock climbing last night and like did a gym session today. So I'm like, 1 year is too much right now. But it's all about like how you're feeling in the moment.
There is those Greenland sharks, for instance. This is a very hipster point, but so you will be interested.
I don't think it is. But that's a very nerdy point.
But think about this. Think about this.
Greenland sharks. I don't know about those sharks.
No, they're terrible. It's a vice thing. They were like, you think you can get high after a few? So they pretty much caused an extinction of a species of hipsters going, get high. But anyway, some of them have lived longer than America has been a country.
Whoa. How many years is that, by the way?
No idea.
A couple of hundred.
But the point is that they can live 500 years.
That is amazing. A shark. Is it a deep water shark? Like deep,
I assume as much. It was really gross and old.
Yeah, because I feel like those animals and organisms that are in the deep, I think they live way longer because of the pressure or something.
It's okay.
Like, I think.
I do not want that shark's life.
I know, just squashed forever.
Yeah. Constantly dark, endlessly scared that something's about to swim up and eat you.
Yeah, it'd be, what's it called?
I suppose you're a shark, so no.
Yeah, but it'd be, what's it called again? The book, One Tree Hill. The house, what? The book I'm reading. The House of Leaves. It'd be like House of Leaves, you know, darkness forever.
And if you want to know what that is, you are going to have to sign up to the Up Late. Otherwise, you'll never know this thing that you can easily Google now. You'll probably know the end of it.
Yeah,
but this piecemeal rendition of a guy that sits there and seriously hates the book.
I don't hate it. I just complain to you when I'm reading it because it's like, it's a dense, difficult book. It really is.
All right.
Yeah. So
after this, we'll give you something light. War and Peace.
I'd probably read it.
Would you?
I bet it's... Can't be... Okay.
It can't be harder than Harry Potter 1.
War and Peace, is it really that hard?
War and Peace is really that hard.
I'm asking you.
I've got no idea because I've never read it. I don't read any fiction.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I would imagine because it's everybody's go-to reference of a difficult book that is probably difficult.
It's thick. It's thick? Really? War and Peace. It's just the Israel book. It's just like, now we're going to talk about War and Peace and the thing of Israel and Palestine. I wonder like, ooh, it smells good, Ali. I wonder like, who wrote War and Peace? Jerry Seinfeld. Tolstoy, the Russian? Yeah, he's good.
How do you know?
I've read some of his short stories.
His short stories are several thousand pages long.
No, they're not. They're not. But like, he's like...
Well, what's the short story you read?
The one about the lawyer that I wonder if my whole life was wrong. That one.
You read that?
Might have been Wikipedia. Same shit.
Okay. All right, give me the Wikipedia entry of it.
Okay, I've told you this before.
Have you?
Yeah, I've already told you this. But okay. He was a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and he made good money.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was like, you know, he had an upstanding position in the society. And his wife was like, you should do it. And he was like, but he always wanted to be I think it was a musician or something. And he always wanted to. But every time his wife was just like, yeah, you're making good money. Like, you've got the respect. Like, do you really, you want to give that up? And he was like, ah, shit, maybe you're right. Maybe I won't. Maybe it's not worth it. And then one day he was dying. And he was, and the last thing he said to his wife was like, I wonder, like, maybe my whole life was wrong.
Mm.
And then he died. And it's a great...
I don't think that you've even read the Wikipedia entry. I think that you just heard Wayne die.
No, I did read it.
Okay.
Is all that right, incorrect? Huh? Are you saying that's incorrect?
No, I'm saying that that is exactly what I know from that story of Wayne Dyer's summary.
I swear to God. I think I heard it from Wayne Dyer and I'm like, let me get to the bottom of this. And then I just read, because I thought it was such a...
She was like, oh, well, he did a very good summary.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. I just thought it was a really poignant, profound story. It's just like, dude.
So do I.
Money comes and goes. Like, on your fucking deathbed, it's all bullshit. Did you actually do what you wanted to do? What your passion was? Because if you didn't, it's like, you would be like, I've wasted my life. My life is a fucking waste.
Yes, I will go further than saying, not what you wanted to do. Did you do what your dharma wanted you to do?
Sure, that's another... But I like to imagine they're both the same thing, you know?
They're fairly close.
Pretty much.
I think that one of them is succumbing to daily whims of...
YouTube. Pornhub.
Yes.
That's...
No good.
Doing what you want.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, fuck that. That's not... Yes, you could say that, but, like, no one's passion is porn or YouTube, you know?
I don't know. I talk to people on Reddit.
Well, fair enough, but like, yeah.
Well, they're living out their
dumb. I mean, some people, look, Manuel Ferreira is definitely living his dumb. So, just went to fix. Yes, come, yes, baby, yes.
Imagine if he is on his deathbed and come, he goes, sir.
What if my whole life
is wrong? What did you want?
I wanted to come a couple more times.
Yeah, I wanted to fix a few more times. What about you, Chiku?
I had sex with 50 women at once, but what 51?
How many people? What did you say?
I had sex with 50 women at once, but 51.
Hey, look, yeah. I'm going to show them the thing first.
Yeah, yeah, get in there all geographic style. Where's the freaking forks, lad?
I'll get a spoon.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in Pakistan.
But you're supposed to have it.
With bread. Can you get some spoons too, please?
But
is this the final countdown, is it?
Is this a... I guess so, yeah.
This is pretty cool.
Hey, look at us.
7M and 7T?
What are you talking about?
High school.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? 7T? 7D.
Oh, right. And this is food tech, is it?
Yeah, I'm just being like, these are the damn of my happy days.
All right, now let's see if this is the greatest...
Sprinkle a little bit of lemon on it.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that, what is that, like...
You're not talking into a microphone, but I will describe what's happening.
Yeah.
Miss Love is sprinkling lime onto what really looks like Patax.
Call it, what is it? Nahari.
Nahari. Oh, that's the name of it.
Yeah, you're doing it right. Yeah. So we just grab some and that's it. Grab some meat, dip it in some stuff. And then...
All right. See, we really don't need the spoon.
Yeah, you're right.
All you do is dip it in the tubbler. All right, now let's have a little gander, shall we?
All of you supposed to have it together.
Same time. Having it the same.
No, oh, it's tender.
Is it the greatest meal of all time? Yeah, yeah. You do that play. You really shouldn't mess up this brand new studio.
Hmm. It was ginger.
Limey.
Hmm. What the hell?
Pleasant flavors.
Hmm.
Mild spice. Ali, I think this is just that you're a good cook.
I feel like I'm on MasterChef.
Number one or not?
Wait, wait.
Is it number one in the world?
Wait, I feel like
there's like a lot of meals out there. Hungry I feel Jack's, like I'm, Wendy's.
I feel like I'm on MasterChef right now. I've got a...
No, controversial.
It's really good, man. But I honestly cannot tell the difference between it and anything else you've ever made.
I got
that's so bad.
No offense.
I have a controversial opinion.
But you just make really good Pakistani food.
I have a controversial opinion.
Mm. Is it number one or not?
Yeah. I think it's number one.
Number one in the world. It's so the best meal you've ever had.
Maybe. No, it's the number one national dish in the world. No other national
dish. It's fucking good. It's really good. It's
really good, but thank I just...
Like, yes, it's number one. I think it's number one.
Fuck. Ali, this is why I wanted to get the Patak's version of it, though. I didn't want to get yours.
What is better than this?
I think it's just a good cook, but honestly, does this taste any different to anything Ali's ever made?
It does. It's spicier, and he doesn't usually use ginger, and it's similar. It's a fucking curry, but it's like, it's the superior curry. It might be the best curry I've ever tried.
Well, that settles it. If you want to have some, then sign make up to yourself. The Uplaid. Is it lamb? I will give a full recipe.
Is it lamb?
Yeah. No, this is beef.
Okay.
It's beef shank. The meat. Yeah, but you've got to slow cook it so it becomes really tender. Right.
How good is it?
It's great.
What did you say? You don't think it's the best in the world?
No, I don't think it's the best meal in the world. It's really good.
I think it is.
We're going to send.
But honestly, I, you know me. I think it's Red Rooster.
Yeah. Ali, yes. Best in the world.
All right, that's it. So if you want the recipe, sign up to the Patreon and access the uploads. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us.
Adjust my penis as you go out.